why forgive and how to forgive. Matthew chapter 6, verse 14 and verse 15 to begin with today. Jesus says, "Well, if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." Now, I want you to read that out loud with me together, okay? Verse 14. "For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." Let's pray. Father, once again, we come together. Lord, we open your word. Spirit of God, I pray now you would be our teacher. You would instruct us and guide us today. All that we say and all that we do, Lord. Help us, Lord, as your children to grow from your word. Lord, your word is food for the inner man, that we might be strengthened, that we might grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, we now commit this time to you and ask again for your will to be done today. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. We see here in this passage of Scripture, as Jesus is speaking, he says, first of all, why we're to forgive. He says, forgive so that you will be forgiven. Forgive so that you will be forgiven. We also see that forgiveness, when we don't forgive, what happens? When we don't forgive others, we are denying our common ground with them in the fact that we're sinners and we need forgiveness. In other words, we're saying, I don't need it, but you do. That's what we're saying when we don't forgive. But the truth of the matter is, the Bible says the heart is desperately wicked, and who can know it? Amen? And we're all sinners, and we all need forgiveness. Therefore, we see, first of all, why forgive? Forgive so that we can be forgiven. Now look back in chapter 5 of Matthew, look at verse 44. We notice forgiveness is a testimony of God's love. We went over this last week. We'll review just a minute, then we'll get into our lesson, really. Forgiveness is a testimony of God's love. Matthew 5, look at verse 44. Jesus says, "But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love them which love you, what reward have you? Do not even the publicans the same? And if you salute your brethren only, what do you more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect." So we see here again, forgiveness is a testimony of God's love. We also said last week that forgiveness also frees the forgiver. Frees the forgiver. When someone has done wrong to us, if we're not careful, resentment will come in. Vengeance will come in. We'll find bitterness, and all these things will add up, build up in us. But when we forgive, these things are taken care of. They're taken care of. There's nothing more damaging to the life of an individual than bitterness and anger and hate and all resentment and all this kind of stuff. They can destroy you. They'll destroy your testimony. You won't feel good. You won't be what you ought to be, what you could be for the Lord Jesus Christ. Forgiveness in the New Testament conveys the idea of sending away or letting go. Letting go. I often say to myself when circumstances come in my life, I don't know why they come, I say to myself, let it go. Let it go. You know, sometimes you have to do that, don't you? What good is it within me? It destroys me. I just have to let it go when things come and I don't understand why they come. So we need to realize that. We know that only the Bible, the Word of God, teaches that God Himself completely forgives sins. We can forgive others, but if we're not careful, Satan will bring it back up, won't he? He'll bring it back up. But God, when He forgives, He completely forgives our sins whenever He does that. For God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven us. We find in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32, we'll be there in a few minutes. But I'm glad today to know that. Now, for a person to receive forgiveness in our lives, in our hearts, first of all, we see repentance is necessary. Repentance is necessary. If I'm not sorry for what I've done, and I ask God to forgive me, He's not going to forgive me. And you know what? He knows my heart. He knows our hearts, doesn't he, when we ask him. Therefore, forgiveness involves repentance, a repentant heart. And we know that only God, the Holy God himself, extends forgiveness to us. He does this. He does this. Turn to Hebrews chapter number 9. God himself, he gives us forgiveness. He enables us to be forgiven. Only the Holy God extends forgiveness. He does it in a way he has provided for us. In Hebrews chapter number 9, look at verse number 22. Hebrews 9, 22. The Bible says this, and almost all things are by the law purged with what? Blood. And without the shedding of what? Blood is no remission. Is no remission. So we see the Holy God extends forgiveness through the shedding of the blood. That's necessary, folks. Without the shedding of the blood of Jesus Christ, you and I could not be forgiven of our sins. There's no other way. There's no other way. Verse number 23 says, it was therefore necessary that the patterns of things in the heaven should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ has not entered into the holy place made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Thank God for that. Nor yet that he should offer himself often, as the high priest entered into the holy place every year with blood of others. But notice verse 26, for then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And as is appointed to man, once to die, but after this the judgment. So we see here, God extends forgiveness by the shedding of blood. This is necessary. The shedding of all the blood of Jesus Christ was there because of you and I and our sins, you see, by the death. And also we see because of his resurrection in Romans chapter 4, verse 25. Not only did he die, but he rose again the third day. He rose again, therefore, to forgive us of our sins. So we see forgiveness is very important in our lives today. And we see why forgiveness, why be forgiven. Now, secondly, we want to look at, as we reviewed last week, first of all, we need to practice forgiveness before it's necessary. Practice forgiveness before it's necessary. We also see that we need to examine our souls, our own sin in our life. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 10, 12, wherefore, let him that thinketh he stand, take heed lest he what? Fall. Lest he fall. You see, we also see we need to let forgiveness take its time. Give up our right to revenge when it comes to being forgiven. Pray for your enemies and trust God's goodness in your life. Trust God's goodness in your life. Now, we see why we should forgive, okay, that we can be forgiven. We see it's a testimony of God's love. And we see not only that, but we look today, if I was just to say to you, and all of you probably know these things, but anyway, if I was to say to you why we should forgive and let it be it, I'm afraid sometimes we don't go far enough as teachers to explain things that we're trying to teach. Now, today I want to look at not only why forgive, but how to forgive. How to forgive. I said last week, a marathon runner, if he's going to run a race, there are things he does prior to that race in order to be able to run the race and possibly win the race, right? Well, likewise, as a believer today, there are things that we have to do in order to be able to forgive. To be able to forgive. First of all, we have to know Christ as our Savior. We don't know him. We don't know nothing about love to begin with. Turn over now to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter number 4. I want to look this morning here at how to forgive. How to forgive. We live in a world today that is hard for people to forgive. In fact, most people don't forgive. They don't forgive. But as believers, we need to know how to forgive. And God has given us specific instructions on how to do this. You know, you just got saved and somebody offended you and you come to somebody to ask them, and you say, well, just forgive them. Well, that sounds good, don't it? But how do you do that? I mean, there's got to be some way to forgive them. Because, listen, I don't know about you, I still have my nature. I still have my Adamic nature with me. And I'll have it as long as I live in this body. And I have to contend with it every day. As Paul says, you know, I have to wrestle with it all the time. You know, it don't want to do what the Spirit of God in me wants me to do. Therefore, it's a conflict all the time, you see, with this. Now, in Ephesians chapter number 4, look at verse 17. First of all, we're going to look at the lost person. First of all, we're talking about how to forgive the sinner's condition here. First of all, in verse 17, this I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind. This is what a lost person does. Walks in the vanity of the mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. We see here the lost person, he has intellect that is darkened. His thinking is depraved. He doesn't think like he should think. He thinks as he is thinking because of who he is. Okay? He's a sinner. But notice what happens here. Look at verse number 20. Verse number 20 says, but ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. We see here as Christians now, something has taken place. Conversion has taken place. And since conversion has taken place, we see here there are two things that has happened. First of all, there's been a change. A change in your life. You remember when you got saved? When God saved you, wasn't there a change in your life? There was a change in your thinking. There was a change in you all over, really, if you really got saved. Not only was there a change, but also there was a challenge. There was a challenge before you now. What are you going to do with what's happened to you? You know, I told the story before. I got saved on Sunday. Monday morning, when we went to church, when I went to school, the first thing my friend told me, hey, I heard you've got religion. That was a challenge to me. It was a challenge to me because I know it wasn't religion. I know it was a relationship with Jesus Christ that I had, you know, at that time. So we see here at this time we see there's a change and there's a challenge for the believer, you see. Now, in these verses continuing here, we're going to see two things. Paul is describing to us as a believer, he's going from the principle of faith, I should say, to the practice of faith. In other words, it takes faith. By grace through faith are you saved, right? You're saved by grace through faith. Okay. Between faith and forgiveness, we see some things take place here. We see here, first of all, as a believer now, you're challenged and I'm challenged, okay, because of our change. And because of that, there are some things that we must do. First of all, we see the charge here is to unclothe. Unclothe ourselves, so to speak. Our natural man. We have to unclothe him, you see. Why do we do this? The reason is God forgave you. God forgave you. Therefore, we need to unclothe this natural man that we have here. We see here how this takes place. What we must do, we must put off. What do we put off as a believer now? I just got saved. What do I put off? We unclothe our natural man. And when we do this, we put off some things that he talks about here. Paul does in this passage of Scripture, you see. Now, look at verse number 22. Paul says that you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man. Okay? The former conversation, we put it off. Notice, he says, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. Deceitful lust. So we see here, first of all, the old disposition that we had, we put it off. What we used to be. We're not what we used to be if we're saved in Christ, are we? We're new creatures, the Bible tells us. So therefore, we need to put off the old disposition here in verse number 22, the first part of that verse. Also, the last part, the old desires, which is corrupt according to the desire, deceitful lust. The flesh likes to lust, does it not? This man, this natural man likes to lust. And that's something else we need to put off as a believer now. We're unclothing ourselves, okay? We're unclothing ourselves as a believer now. We just got saved. We're trying to get rid of that garbage that we carried for those X number of years before we got saved. Therefore, we're trying to put this stuff off. We're trying to put it off, you see. And this is what he's talking about here. And also, not only that, but look at verse number 23. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Here we see the old direction that we were going. We were headed down the wrong road. We were going the wrong direction where we're not, as a lost sinner. And when we got saved, God changed our direction. We'll put off that old direction that we were going down. We're to put it off. We're to unclothe ourselves with these things, you see. Now, we're to put off. Look at verse number 25. Wherefore, putting away what? Lying. Lying, speaking every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Another thing we are to put off, we're to put off lying. Lying, as in verse number 25. Look at verse 26. Another thing we're supposed to put off. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Neither let the sun go down upon your wrath. We're to put away what? Anger. 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 You know, this flesh wants to flare up, doesn't it? I mean, it can be something small, it can be something big, but this flesh we have wants to get angry. And the Bible tells, Paul's telling us here, as a believer, we're to put off, we're to unclothe anger, unclothe lying, okay? These things are not what the Christian life is all about. We're to start practicing something now. Yes, I'm saved. I'm on the way to heaven. I have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. But now I'm supposed to start practicing my faith. The Bible says faith without works is what? It's dead. It's dead. In other words, if others can't see by my actions and what I do that I'm a believer, I can tell them all I want to, and they still probably won't believe me. Because my actions speak louder than my words. Amen? So we're to unclothe with lying, unclothe with anger, unclothe with these things here. Be angry and sin not. Man, that's a powerful statement, isn't it? How do you do that? How do you be angry and sin not? You know, all I can say is God help us. God help us, you know, because again, this flesh that we house in right now. You see, we need to look at this. We really do. Now, anger is often more harmful than the injury that caused it. Anger is usually more harmful than the injury that caused it. Many times, because anger goes on. Sometimes we're not careful. The injury will heal, okay? But the anger goes on. It goes on and goes on and on and goes on. We're to unclothe ourselves with anger. Get rid of it. Get rid of it. Lying. Get rid of that. Get rid of all these things. Now, go down to verse number 27. Neither give place to the devil. My, that's something that's hard to do, ain't it? Neither give place to the devil. Satan, get behind me. Sometimes, I don't know where to come from. Sometimes thoughts come to my mind. Hell, I know where to come from. And I had to say, Satan, get behind me. Get out of my mind. Why in the world is this coming to my mind? You know, neither give place to the devil. You know, put it behind you. You know, sing a song. Jesus loves me. Do something. You know, neither give place to the devil. We're to unclothe ourselves with this attitude today. Now, notice in verse number 28. The Bible says, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the things which is good that he may have to give to him that needeth. Stealing. Put it away. Unclothe ourselves with stealing. Now, I'm not talking about going ahead and robbing a bank, necessarily. I'm talking about little things. Little things. You know, I had to be careful. Those of you that work in the office where you work at, if you're not careful, you pick up something that belongs here and take it home with you and not even be conscious of it. That's stealing, isn't it? That's stealing. It don't belong to you, and you don't need to take it home with you. You know, I'm talking about little things, you know, in your life that come up to you. You know, sometimes I walk across the parking lot, and I see a penny, a nickel, something. And I said, there's a penny, a nickel. And I said, I'm going to pick it up. You know, and the first thought comes to me, this don't belong to you. What are you picking it up for? You know, and I'll pick it up. I mean, whose is it? Nobody knows, you know. But I'm saying stealing little things, you know. We can steal time. We can steal time, folks, we can. And it's not just monetary things, but time. We can steal it. You know, there's possible people today that could be in Sunday school that are not here, and they're stealing that time from God that they could have with God. They're literally stealing it because they're doing something else with that time that God gives them to be in Sunday school, be in church, you see. Stealing. We're to unclothe ourselves with this thing of stealing. Now look at verse 29. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Worthless talk. Joking. Carrying on. Nothing wrong with having fun. But worthless talk, we need to unclothe ourselves with it. Worthless talk. You know, talking to something that really don't mean nothing anyway. Worthless talk. Also, number 30. Page number 30. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. That speaks about being contrary, not obeying God, not wanting His will, not doing anything. And we need to learn to be not contrary to the Spirit of God. Spirit of God. Now, verse 31, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. All malice, talking about unkindness. Put it away. Unclothe ourselves with unkindness. Unclothe ourselves as a believer. This is our challenge, to unclothe ourselves as a believer today. So we see here, the believer has a charge and has a challenge. He has a reason because God has forgiven us. We have been forgiven. And therefore, we need to unclothe ourselves with these things that Paul talks about here to the church at Ephesus. And may the Lord help us as believers today to find these things in our lives and unclothe ourselves with those things and do what we ought to do. Now, we also notice something else. There's another change that takes place. Another challenge we see in verse number 24. Verse number 24 says, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Put on who? The new man. Why do we put on the new man? Simply because you are forgiven. Therefore, we need to put on the new man. That is the man that Christ Jesus lives within us, the Holy Spirit. We need to put on Him. You see, we need to clothe ourselves now with Him. We've unclothed ourselves of all these other things that we should not have, and now we're to clothe ourselves with this, these things He talks about here in these verses here as we look at them. The garments of the new man. The garments of the new man. He says, and put on the garments of the new man. Look at verse number 32. It says, be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Be kind one to another. We see here, these things are necessary that we do in order to put on the new man. We see the believer is to put on the garments of the new man. What are they? Kindness, gentleness, caring, helpful, trust. All these things he speaks about here. Believers are brothers in the Lord, are we not? We're brothers and sisters together of the Lord, because of the Lord. If it were not for the Lord, probably none of us would be here today. We probably wouldn't be alive. But because of Him, we are tenderhearted. That's to show compassion, mercy, and understanding towards one another. We're to put on these things. You see. Forgiving is to be gracious to a person, to pardon for wrongdoing. Forgiving is. We see also the reason we should forgive each other is because Christ has forgiven us. He has forgiven us. You know, I can't get over that. I can't get over the phantom, the thought that God has forgiven me of my sins. First of all, why? I don't deserve it. I don't deserve His love, His grace, His mercy. I don't deserve none of that from God. But I'm so thankful that He loved me. He loves mankind so much that he was willing to do that for you and I. And forgive us if we'll simply call upon him and trust him as our Savior. So we see how to forgive. That the charge, first of all, to unclothe. There is a charge also to clothe yourself. There are things we need to get out of this life as the nature we have, and there are things that we need to put on. Go through this week, read it, go through it, review it, and see how God may help you and help me also as we look at our life. And where do we stand? Where do we stand, you see? It's by grace we're saved, by faith we're saved, and we're on our way to heaven. It's by grace through faith we're saved, we're forgiven. But between that grace and being forgiven, there's one thing called repentance. Repentance. We must repent in order to obtain that grace and that forgiveness that God has for you and I in our world today. So we see here how to forgive. How to forgive. God's given us specific instructions. What to unclothe, what to put on as a believer. May the Lord help us and challenge us this week to examine our lives. What do I need to take off? What do I need to get out of my life? What do I need to take off? Unkindness, stealing, all this kind of stuff we talked about. And what do I need to put on? What do I need to put on? I need to put on love, more love. I know that. We really do. I'm so glad that God, in all his infinite knowledge and wisdom he has, he knows us, every one of us, our hearts. Even the intent of our heart, the thoughts we have. I'm so glad when God designed man, when God formed man and put him in the Garden of Eden there, he knew, he already had a plan. He knew what was going to take place with Adam and Eve. He had a plan already designed what he was going to do to help mankind because he loves mankind so much. God desires someone to fellowship with him. Someone to fellowship with him. Just like you and I desire fellowship from one another, don't we? We desire a relationship to a certain extent. Well, God does that with mankind. Therefore, he provides all these things for us. We see God's forgiveness. Psalm 103, verse 3 says, "Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases." That's God. He forgives our iniquities, and he heals our diseases. God does. We have a merciful God, do we not? A loving God. Psalm 30, verse 4, "There is forgiveness with thee that thou mayest be feared." The word God forgives me, and I need to respect him. I need to reverence him because of what he's done for me. He's forgiven me. He's forgiven you. We see in Matthew 6, 14, a while ago, "For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you." Matthew 6, 14. What a promise, folks. What a promise. If I forgive you, God's going to forgive me. But if I don't forgive you, God's not going to forgive me. Those are strong words, aren't they? Our strong words. That's God. God works that way, you see. We see here, as we look at our faith, we look now at the pattern we're to live, how we're to live our life, you see. Acts 5:31, "Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins." Jesus Christ is on the right hand of the Father right now, making intercession for you and I. We see in Acts 13, verse 38, "Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins." Jesus Christ. He preaches forgiveness of sin to you and I. What a forgiver, folks, what Jesus has forgiven us for. All he's done for us, all he's provided for us. In Ephesians 1:7, we read, "In whom we have redemption through the blood, his blood, the forgiveness of sin, according to the riches of his grace." Thank God for his grace, folks. We're willing to forgive. And of course, 1 John 1:9, "If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to what? Forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." That's God. That's God. I'm glad today to know that we can be forgiven. We know why we're forgiven. We're to practice forgiveness. We're to unclothe ourselves as natural man, the things that should not be in us, and we're to put on the things of God. He talks about here kindness and all these things in the Word of God here in Ephesians. There are many examples of God's forgiveness throughout the Scriptures. We see in 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse 13, we see David said to Nathan, "I have sinned against the Lord." Nathan said unto David, "The Lord also hath put away thy sin. Thou shalt not die." What a merciful God. After what David did, after what I've done, God to be merciful to me and save me and give me a home in heaven one day. What a merciful God we have, folks. We really do. I'm thankful to know this. Pardon is promised to us as believers. In Isaiah 43, verse 25, the Bible says, "I, even I am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own sake." As God, he blots out all my iniquities for his sake, will not remember thy sins. Isaiah 44, verse 22 says, "I have blocked out as a thick cloud," God says, "thy transgressions, and as a cloud thy sin. Return unto me, for I have redeemed thee." I have redeemed thee. God himself is our Redeemer. He blots out our sins. The Bible says our sins are as far as the east is from the west. They're buried in the deepest sea, the song says. Of course, we sing often as we were growing up. They're buried in the deepest sea, not to be brought up no more. Therefore, we see God forgives. Therefore, he wants his children to forgive also. And we can do it by God's grace, and it's only by God's grace. So we see humans are to forgive. If we can't forgive others, we have burned the bridge over which you must pass. The bridge is burnt where you must pass. We must learn to forgive. We must learn to forgive. We may have to go back. We may have to go back. Matthew 11, 25, "And when you stand praying, forgive." The Bible says, "If you have aught against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses." Forgive. We find human forgiveness is necessary. We see Luke chapter 17, verse 4. "And if he trespass against thee seven times in a day, and seven times in a day turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt also forgive him." Also forgive him. Forgive him. Forgiveness. Human forgiveness. Ephesians 4:32, a while ago, "Be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." Forgiving. Kindness. Love. Respect. Colossians 3:13, "Forbearing one another." Forbearing one another and forgiving one another. "If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, also do you." You forgive also. He's our example, the Lord Jesus Christ, is he not? He has forgiven us, and we're to forgive. Why and how to forgive is very important, folks, in our lives as Christians. May we ask God to help us. You know, we live in a wicked world, I know that. You know that too. And oftentimes people do things to you that you don't know why. But just remember this, God is trying to mold us and make us into what he wants us to be. Nothing happens to me or you that is not Father filtered to us. And God knows how much we can stand, how much we can bear. And God's going to give us the grace to be able to enable what is put in our plate, so to speak. I believe that with all my heart. And I'm so glad that God in heaven knows us enough. He knows that much about me and that much about you. He loves us. And nothing's going to happen to us that his hand is not going to guide. He's going to help us in every situation. Aren't you glad today to know that because God loves you, you can love him, first of all. Secondly, because he forgave you, you can forgive others. You can forgive others. It's only by the grace of God, I know that. But we can do it, folks. We can do it. And God would help us to do that. That's our plan. That's what we should be practicing. We practice these things of unclothing ourselves, of these things we talked about, and putting on these things we have talked about today. Then when the time comes to forgive, we'll be prepared to forgive. But if we don't do all this stuff, we won't be prepared. You know? It's like, you know, just walking out and something, all of a sudden, bam, something happens to you. You just got saved, okay? And tomorrow you go to work and somebody does something to you and talks ugly to you, whatever. And another, and you know, in your mind, you're supposed to forgive them. Well, how in the world do I forgive them? How do I forgive them? It's a process. It's not an instant thing, folks. Forgiveness don't come just like that. We have to grow. And we grow by unclothing this natural man and clothing this natural man what we need to put on it. See, by God's grace, we can do it. And only by His help can we do it. But God's promised to help us. He's going to never leave us nor forsake us. And I thank God for that today. Next week, Lord willing, we're going to start with some examples of human forgiveness. Examples of human forgiveness. First of all, we're going to look at Esau and Jacob. Esau and Jacob. Genesis chapter 25 through 33. If you want to read it this week about them, we're going to talk about them and what happened in their life, and how they forgave one another. Let's pray. Father, thank you today for loving us. We thank you, Lord, for the Word of God that you give us, Lord, to open up and share together. And Lord, as we look today at this study about forgiveness, we pray, God, you continue to help us each week, Lord, as we talk about this subject. And God, that we might find ourselves, Lord, and where we are, where do we stand. Lord, we know this inner man, this man that we have, this old man we have, I should say, is very weak. And only by the grace of God, Lord, can we apply this thing through our lives. Lord, it's great to be saved on the way to heaven. But Lord, we have a journey to go down. And Lord, only by your help can we journey this journey. Lord, and practice things we need to practice, Lord, that we might be in those specific times what we ought to be for you. When it comes to forgiveness or whatever it is, witnessing, whatever it is, if we're not prepared, we're going to fall. So God, help us to prepare. Help us, Lord, to unclothe ourselves and put on things that we ought to put on, Lord, that we might be ready to stand in these days in which we live. Father, bless now the service we're about to go into. May you have your will and way. Every heart, bless our preacher. May the Word of God find His way in our hearts and change us today. Help that one that's lost to be saved. Glorify yourself. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.